Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Alice Bryant and Anna Mateo. Later, Ashley Thompson and Adam Brock have a special report on one of America's national treasures. But first, this report. Growing up in Hong Kong, Jasmine Lee always planned on going overseas for her higher education needs. Lee attended the Hong Kong International School, a private Christian school. It offers an American-style education from kindergarten classes all the way through high school. The Hong Kong International School teaches both Hong Kong natives and foreigners who live in the former British territory. Almost all of the school's classes are taught in English. So Lee improved her English skills and learned about the rest of the world at an early age. When Lee finished high school in 2015, she already knew she wanted to go to a university in the United States. But even before then, she had one school in mind. Her older brother started taking classes at Boston University in the American state of Massachusetts in 2012. He loved his experience at the school, she says, so it became her first choice. Boston University, or BU, is a private research university with about 30,000 students. It was officially established in 1869, but it is even older. The school that would become BU was set up 30 years earlier as a religious college in Vermont.
Ever since moving to Massachusetts, the school has had a long history of producing world leaders and important thinkers. For example, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone while working in one of its laboratories in 1876. Lee liked the feeling of openness her brother described as part of his experience at BU. Many colleges and universities require students to choose a specific field of study before their first year of classes. But BU admitted Lee's brother under its general studies program, which let him delay his decision on a field of study. This made Lee so sure she wanted to attend BU that it was the only school to which she applied for admission. She even applied under the university's early decision program. Usually, American students seek admission to more than one college in the late winter of their final year of high school. They learn which schools have accepted them by spring. But the early decision process is for students who are very interested in attending a specific college or university. Schools with early decision policies let interested students apply earlier. And requesting early decision can help a student's chances by showing schools just how much a student wants to study there.
Lee moved to the United States and began her studies at BU in 2015. She is hoping to complete a bachelor's degree program in early childhood education. From very early on, The 19-year-old says she enjoyed her newfound independence. On weekends, she explores the city and goes to stores and restaurants with her friends. Boston is a city with a lot of history, especially events related to the American Revolution against Britain. Several parts of the city still have buildings and streets that date back hundreds of years. But the past really is not what concerns Lee. She says she likes to make plans for the future and sets difficult goals for herself. Luckily, she has been able to establish personal connections with her professors at Boston University. Those ties will most likely help her reach her goals after college, she says.
If your professor is in your field, I think you get to build that network with your professor. They can sort of guide you towards your career in the future.
For Luka Miladinovic, preparing for the future and life after college has never been more important. Miladinovic is from Belgrade, Serbia's capital. He began attending BU in 2013. He just completed a bachelor's degree program in finance. But that was not what he planned on doing 4 years ago. Miladinovic was at one point listed among some of the best rowers in the world. In fact, he competed in the World Championships of Rowing in 2011. At that time, Miladinovic was completing his high school education and considering universities to attend both in and outside of Serbia. He wanted to find a school with a top rowing team. After the 2011 World Championships, several schools in the United States offered him large amounts of financial assistance if he agreed to join their rowing team. At first, Miladinovic liked the University of Washington, which he says has the best college rowing team in the country. But as soon as he agreed to attend the university, the BU rowing team contacted him. Its coach told the young man he was coming to Belgrade to meet with him in person. When they met, the BU coach said that Miladinovic could join the best team in the country and work to continue its success if he liked. But an even greater test lay in helping a weaker team improve, the coach argued. Miladinovic says he did not agree with that argument at first. But after thinking about what they discussed for several days, he did think the coach might be right. So Miladinovic decided to attend Boston University instead. In the end, Miladinovic says he made the right decision. BU completely covered the costs of his studies in exchange for being on the rowing team. It is common for American universities with the biggest and best sports teams to do so. And he notes the way the coach led his team taught him a lot about how to value the team's rowers and not be too critical of others. This is a skill Miladinovic says he knows is very important outside the world of sports.
Right now, I believe I can talk to whoever about whatever topic, and I'm not going to be judging right away because I know there are so many reasons that stand behind any decision people made in their lives. And that helped me the most, I believe.
As his studies at Boston University came to an end, Miladinovic noted that his rowing career would likely end as well. That is why he is thankful he was not just interested in sports when he was considering which school to attend. He says he placed equal value on study programs. Miladinovic says his classes were difficult but satisfying. He is also happy that he was able to find a job with the university, working in the office responsible for paying BU's employees. Most student visas do not let students work more than a few hours a week. But Miladinovic says even his short time working in the office greatly improved his communication skills. These are skills he knows he will need for his next big steps in life. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore common expressions in American English. On another Words and Their Stories, we went to the high seas to learn about expressions with sharks. Today, we go back into the ocean to explore expressions involving other sea creatures. Okay, first of all, the ocean is a big place. And a single drop of water in the ocean is nearly nothing. So, when we say something is like a drop in the ocean, we mean it is a very small amount compared to what is needed. Let's say a high school needs $80,000 to build a new computer laboratory for its students. The school organizes a bake sale, an event held for the purpose of raising money. But on the day of the bake sale, it rains. No one comes because of the weather. By the end of the day, the high school raises only $100. If $80,000 is the goal, $100 is a drop in the ocean. Here in the U.S., you may also hear the expression, drop in the bucket. But a drop in the ocean is much more dramatic. Another marine animal is the octopus. These eight tentacle creatures are full of surprises. Sadly, in spoken English, they do not have a good reputation. In fact, the word octopus has at least two not-so-good meanings. An octopus can be a powerful and influential organization, with its tentacles reaching far and wide, usually with harmful effects. For example, a multinational corporation that only wants to make money has its tentacles in everything, from food production to energy resources. Also, when a man cannot keep his hands off a woman, we say he is an octopus, or has octopus hands. To use this expression, it is important that the woman does not want the attention of the octopus. Now we move on to another unusual sea creature, the eel. Eels are long and look like snakes. Like octopuses, some people like to eat them, but they are difficult to catch because they are slippery. And that brings us to another expression. If someone is slippery as an eel, they are tricky and difficult to catch. We often use this expression as a warning to others. For example, watch out for her, she's as slippery as an eel. Like many terms that compare two things, you can use the first as or leave it out. So it's fine to say, she is slippery as an eel. We would like to end our program today on a happy note. So here are two positive expressions that come from ocean animals. This next one sounds very strange. It involves oysters. Some people consider oysters a delicacy, a rare food that you only eat once in a while. Oysters are great for another reason. They make pearls. So oysters are rare indeed. And that brings us to our next expression. When we say the world is your oyster, we mean that you are able to make the most out of life. You take every chance given to you and put it to good use. Language experts say this is one of the many expressions created by the English writer William Shakespeare. He used it in his play, The Merry Wives of Windsor. However, some people use this expression a little differently. It can also mean that you have every chance or opportunity you could possibly want. You have money, skills, ability, and freedom to do exactly what you want. For example, if you have a friend who grew up with extreme wealth, attended the best schools, and have parents who are both highly connected in their professional fields, you could say the world is her oyster. Where oysters are small and strange-looking, whales are huge and majestic. Whales are some of the largest mammals on Earth. And unlike octopuses and eels, whales have a very good reputation. In fact, if something is a whale of a thing, it is a very good thing. If you performed very well at work, your boss could say you did a whale of a job. A whale of something can also mean it's very big. For example, if you have a really big project to do, you could say you have a whale of a project. Americans also use the expression to have a whale of a time. This simply means to have a really good time. You might hear or read this expression, but we have other ways to say it. For example, if someone asks me how a party was, I could say, "It was a blast," or "I had an awesome time." And I've had a whale of a time bringing you this words and their stories. After all, when you do something you love as a career, the world is your oyster. I'm Ana Mateo.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been.
This week on our national parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range. The park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an Eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone. But you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to Rocky Mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike, but the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape from big East Coast cities, today it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year, and it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, "Hey, bear, hey, bears." They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you.
I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Adam Brock.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.